Well, just taking a look at the US first, over the course of this past week, we've had a bit of data out of the US which suggests that fears that have been swirling in financial markets about the risk of a recession coming in the US really are somewhat premature, because much of the data we're getting out of the US is still holding up quite well. Now, that's not to say that aggressive monetary policy tightening won't tip the US economy at some point, but there's a lot of carry from various items in the US economy at the moment, and we saw some of them again through the course of last week. So, for example, things like durable goods orders, which right at the leading edge for the manufacturing sector, reasonably strong monthly readings again. So we had the headline durable goods orders up 0.4%. That was after a 0.6% change the month before. And also core durable goods orders up 0.3% after a 1.1% increase. That was an unusually big increase the month before, so a good consolidation on that. We had the Manufacturing Purchasing Managers Index, the old-style Purchasing Managers Index, came out for the month of May. That's still holding up in the high 50s. It sort of did come back a bit, but to 57.5 from 59.2. There was a little bit more pressure coming through the services sector PMI. That came down to the 53s from 55 marks going back the month before, but these indications out of the output part of the US economy are still very, very firm indeed. It was also there in terms of personal spending. So we had the April personal income, personal spending numbers came out. And April personal income is still bounding along. So it's going along 0.4s, 0.5% a month. So we had a 0.5% increase month on month for personal income going back to the month of March. We had a 0.4% for the month of April. So we're annualising well and truly up in the 5s towards 6%. And so that's great support there for the biggest part of US spending, which is household spending. And in terms of personal spending, that was very strong. We had the April reading, which came in at plus 0.9%. That was after an upwardly revised 1.4% month-on-month increase the month before. So whilst you've got this bedrock of spending in the US coming from the household sector just still powering along for the time being, it's pretty hard to see a recession or anything like it in the very near term. Having said that, we had the minutes of the FOMC meeting, and the minutes of the FOMC meeting indicated that the Fed is taking inflation seriously, and that after that 50 basis point increase, which they delivered, plus also the move more decisively towards quantitative tightening and away from quantitative easing with their bond purchases and their purchases turning to sales of bonds and also mortgage-backed paper, that then tends to do more of that over the next couple of meetings at least. In the normal circumstances, that would tend to scare markets, but there's another factor which is just coming in, and it's a view which is developing in US financial markets that perhaps the worst has been seen in terms of the US inflation rate. Again, going back to that time when the Fed tightened monetary policy earlier in May, we had the latest CPI reading. It was off the top, it just came back a little bit. There's some hope that it'll come back a bit further. And so you've got some indication that even if the Fed does go aggressively over the next couple of meetings, at some point in the not too distant future, they've got reason where they can step that down a bit or even pause at some point. So we've got these swirling sort of currents running through sentiment at the moment, which are probably going to give us a lot more volatility more than anything else as we go further forward. Just looking this week in the United States, we've got a holiday to start the week, so it's the Memorial Day holiday for Monday. And then later in the week, we'll get some more purchasing manager reports. These will be the ISM ones. Be interesting to see if they hold up pretty well. We get also the key labour force data coming out of the US on Friday. And so payrolls, May payrolls, still expect to be firm. Going back a month ago, you know, these lifted 428,000 in the month of April. They're expected to lift another 320,000. They're powering along for the time being. And the unemployment rate is expected to fall to 3.5% in May from 3.6%. That will be the lowest unemployment rate since 1969. Very, very low unemployment rate in the US. And May average hourly earnings still marching along, not quite as powerfully as it had been in the past. So expecting a 0.4% month-on-month increase, that would actually bring back the annual rate of change from 5.5% to 5.2%, not quite taking pressure off the reserve, off the Federal Reserve, but adding to that factor about perhaps maybe inflation might top out and allow them a little bit more leeway going ahead. Moving to China, we had little of note there except they are easing back a bit in terms of those lockdown restrictions in Shanghai. They're showing signs of changing a little bit. You know, they're announcing more spending for the Chinese economy. Still going to be very, very problematic. And this week we'll get purchasing managers indices coming out. They're going to look pretty soft. So we've got the manufacturing PMI, the non-manufacturing PMI, both coming out on Tuesday for the month of May. Going back last month, the official manufacturing PMI fell below 50. 50 is the expansion contraction point. It fell all the way down to 47.4, which is actually quite a low reading. The market thinks we might get around about 48, but it's still going to be pretty soft. The non-manufacturing PMI hit by lockdowns was all the way down to 41.9. That's a very low reading by the standards of this particular indicator. Maybe it lifts a little bit off that, but you know, it still would have been affected by lockdowns. So waiting to see what that one shows for May. And later in the week, we'll get the Caixin manufacturing PMI coming out. The Caixin manufacturing PMI was even softer than the official reading at 46. So China's economy is still on this softening trend for the time being. Australia, going back last week, you know, obviously now know we've got a new government. There's a few things which are coming up on the horizon that will mark some of the changes. But essentially, not a lot will change. The key things are going to be the Fair Work Australia's minimum wage case, which takes part in the course of June. And it's interesting that the new government has just backed off slightly from something that was saying in the election campaign. During the election campaign, they were adamant that they were going to support a full 5.1% increase to cover the last CPI for minimum wages, and that would be the case they put to Fair Work Australia. They're now saying that, yes, they want coverage for cost of living, but they're not being specific about the number. And that's interesting because it suggests they may allow for some of the other compensations that have occurred for lower income earners in the submission they put. So just some backing away from that, that's going to be important as far as the Reserve Bank is concerned for what it may have to do with interest rates going down the track. Last week in Australia, we had some Q1 data. We had construction work done data. This was a little bit on the soft side. It was down 0.9% after being down 0.4% going back to Q4 last year. Similarly so for Q1 capital expenditure. It was a bit of a mixed bag. We had quite strong lift in investment spending on plant and machinery, up 1.2% in real terms, but building capex was down through the course of the quarter by 1.7%. So overall, CapEx spending was down 0.3% after being up a revised 2.3%. Actually doubled the strength of it going back to Q4. So these are going to play into the GDP read that we get through the course of this week. We also had April retail trade readings. Very strong. up 0.9% after a 1.6% increase the month before. An absolute record high. So retail spending in Australia is still running very, very strongly, running into the first part of Q2. And just across the Tasman, one of our another central bank over there, the RBNZ, they lifted another 50 basis points. Their cash rate's now 2%. So they've been moving pretty aggressively. They've got a bigger inflation problem than the RBA faces here. So they've joined that league of 50 basis point increases. The central banks, Bank of Canada, will probably do the same thing running through the course of this week. Australia this week, though, we've got both the April NATA and also Q1 reading. That's our GDP read. It comes out on Wednesday. Taking the April reads first, we've got April home building approvals coming out. They were off by 18.5%, but that was up nearly 40% the month before. So we've had a lot of volatility running through home building approvals. Market, I think, will get about a 2% increase running through that. We've also got April international trade data coming out later in the week. That's still holding up very, very well in value terms, so expecting a monthly trade surplus around the $9.5 billion mark, same as the month. Well, the month before was 9.3, so a little bit higher than the trade surplus we had the month before. We'll get a lot of quarterly contributions to GDP ahead of the GDP result, which comes out on Wednesday. But at this stage, the market is expecting that our Q1 GDP will be up 0.7% quarter on quarter. That was after a 3.4% quarter on quarter lift going back to Q4. That would mean that the annual GDP rate would just come down somewhat to 3% from 4.2% where it was going back before. But at 0.7% quarter on quarter, that will put our Q1 GDP at one of the strongest anywhere in the world. We are doing very, very well by international comparison in terms of economic growth for the time being. So just watching those numbers as they come through to see whether they have much bearing. But what they do reaffirm is that in everything which is happening through financial markets at the moment, there are good reasons why Australia should be something of an outperformer by international comparison. Now, moving to Europe, last week we had the manufacturing purchasing managers indices coming out and also the services sector PMIs for the month of May. They continue to hold up, and that's despite the fact that if there's an area where we've got most worry about economic growth going forward, it is Europe. And it's down largely to what's happening in terms of the energy problem relating to energy supplies from Russia. And so, it's not showing much sign there in terms of the data read. And so the manufacturing PMI, services PMI is well above 50. The manufacturing PMI came in at 54.4, was back a bit, 55.5. But the services sector PMI, 56.3 from 57.7. What I should say about these PMIs is that in Europe, we've almost never seen figures above 60. Anything mid-50s is actually very, very strong by the standards of these surveys. So it is actually holding up remarkably well. This week in Europe, we'll get the May Business and Consumer Confidence Survey coming out tonight. That's expected to edge back slightly from 105 to 104.9. That's actually a reasonably firm reading. On Tuesday, we'll get their latest CPI for the month of May. If anything, the headline CPI is going to go up 7.7% year on year from 7.4. But the underlying or core CPI perhaps will come down a notch to 3.8% to 3.9. We also get their April unemployment rate. It's going to go down to a new 20-year low. Down to 6.7% from 6.8%. But on Thursday, we'll have April producer prices coming out. And this is the real problem for Europe with high energy prices. Already, producer prices were kicking along at 36.8% year-on-year, going back to the month of March. That's expected to lift to 38.6% year-on-year. So the pipeline pressure in Europe is much, much higher than it is for many other countries internationally. The paradox is the ECB will not be lifting interest rates. They are worried about the potential for the economy to come back. So we have this little bit of a conundrum which is running through Europe for the time being relative to the rest of the world. But for the most part, it's a case of continuing to watch the data for the time being. There's slight optimism building into the US, largely about whether inflation's peaking out. We won't get much more information on that through the course of this week. And for us, we should get a whole range of figures this week, which just show that relatively we're performing very, very well by international comparison. It gives us some reason to expect continuing our performance for our market relative to international markets.